I'm Bill Littlefield. Next week on Only a Game, we will mark the 70th anniversary of the breaking of Major League Baseball's color barrier. But right now, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at this week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Since we last spoke, college basketball has crowned two champions. One of them is South Carolina. Their women's team beat Mississippi State on Sunday night.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I know.
Wait a minute. There's something wrong with this story.
I'm trying to move past UConn's loss in the semifinals. Let's talk about the winners. What do you think? Is the entire women's game revitalized because it has a first-time champion in South Carolina?
Well, I don't know, but it certainly is the biggest surprise of the last three or four sports years, I'd say. I think Dawn Staley's a terrific advertisement for basketball in general and women's basketball in particular. She's just terrific. She's going to be a great Olympic coach, and I was very happy for her. I mean, I was also astounded at what happened.
For the winner on the men's side, we move one state up on the map, North Carolina, no stranger to the Final Four. This time, they prevailed in a contest some have called ugly. Are they right?
No, definitely. It was the worst championship game I think I've ever seen. The officials were completely in violation of my friend Bob Ryan's first rule of officiating, which is know why you're on the floor. They did not know why they were on the floor, okay? They thought they were on the floor to be the show. It was awful. Mm. Just dreadful. Nobody could shoot. It was another example of why basketball should not be played in football domes. Everything went wrong. If I were Gonzaga, I would leave my first Final Four with a very sour taste in my mouth.
By winning, North Carolina's players earned themselves championship T-shirts and caps, and they earned their coach, Roy Williams, a $925,000 bonus. Maybe he'll take everybody out to dinner.
I don't think he's allowed to be perfectly frank with
you.
Well,
they're there now. I mean... He's not recruiting them.
Oh, no. Lack of institutional control. Of course, this all takes place in the middle of the University of North Carolina being amid a massive academic fraud scandal. Yes, Roy Williams gets almost $1 million, and the players, if they get anything, get pilloried in the press.
Wednesday night's game between the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers was promoted as a potential changing of the guard, Charlie, but Cleveland was apparently not ready to step out of the way. They romped 114-91. Does this mean anything going forward?
It means, number one, that LeBron James is awake and ready for the playoffs and that the let's rest the stars period of the NBA season is over. I think the Celtics are better than they played the other night. I don't know that it will mean anything going forward in the playoffs, but it does mean that the Cleveland Cavaliers are very much ready to defend their title.
Having served one of the longer apprenticeships, 15 years as an assistant coach, Patrick Ewing was named head coach of the men's basketball team at Georgetown this week. He certainly has some experience with Georgetown. Do you like his chances to succeed?
I think Patrick will be fine. I think it's a great advertisement for the Big East to have Chris Mullin at St. John's and Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I just wish the late Pearl Washington had survived long enough to coach at Syracuse. I'm a little bit surprised by this, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought after having fired John Thompson III, the son, of course, of the man who coached Patrick Ewing in the Georgetown's glory days, I thought that Georgetown would make a complete break with the Thompson era. Apparently, that's just not possible for them. But I'm very happy for Patrick. I remember the days when he was in high school and people were showing up in gorilla suits and throwing bananas at him and stuff. So anything that nice that happens to Patrick Ewing in his life is fine by me.
First, it was the U.S. women's hockey team. This week, it was the U.S. women's soccer team that got itself a better deal from their federation. More money, better benefits, etc. It's enough to make a fellow feel that solidarity isn't quite dead.
No, it's been really terrific. The ripple effects of what the U.S. women's hockey team did are really considerable at this point, and they have, I think, empowered women athletes in other sports to look around and say, hey, what about us, too? And if there's anything more basically American than that, I don't know what it is.
It should be noted that progress, notwithstanding, the women are still not being paid as well as the men are in their sports.
No, and that's a shame, and we're moving toward it, and we're not moving toward it fast enough.
Charlie, baseball is not supposed to be a contact sport. I guess nobody better try telling that to Stephen Piscotty of the St. Louis Cardinals. On Tuesday, he was hit by a pitch on the right elbow, which put him on base. Then while he was running the bases, he was hit by a thrown ball on the other elbow. And then heading home, he got hit in the head by another throw. Tough inning.
This is unbelievable to me. I have a question, though. Obviously, it's a big moment in baseball history, right? What will they ask Stephen Piscotty to send to the Hall of Fame to commemorate this?
Yeah, x-rays, I guess.
X-rays or bandages or, you know, cold packs or what?
Tony Romo, late the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, is leaving football. Actually, he's not leaving football. He's just moving upstairs to watch games and talk about them rather than play in them. CBS has hired him. Fox and NBC were apparently both interested. Sounds as if he was a highly coveted media free agent.
Yes. I mean, it was always thought that once he got tired of having his shoulder separated every year, he would be a terrific analyst. He's being moved right into the number one analyst slot at CBS, replacing Phil Simms, which is a real jump. So we'll see.
Finally, Charlie, we have heard so many stories about how Olympic venues fall into disrepair after the Olympic Games. Nobody uses them, but hundreds of athletes have made sure that that's not happening in Sochi. They're skiers, and they're only half-dressed, and the point is they've gathered in larger numbers than ever. You want to yell sports now?
No, I'm letting this one go. Are you kidding? This is very definitely sports of the quieter variety. Look at these videos. It's wonderful. People are not wearing clothes, and they're falling in the snow.
Uh-huh.
This is a great thing.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated from time to time, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.